Good morning. Thank you. Good job, Myrn. Welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning and to everyone watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome back to the Reverend Bruce McNichol, who will be conducting the service this morning. As always, Bruce, it's a great pleasure to have you with us. Some intimations for your attention. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available in the sanctuary following the service. Please feel free to join us. You'll be very welcome. The prayer group will meet in the McMichael Chapel today at 11:40 a.m. Prayer requests may be written on a tag and placed on the prayer tree, written on a card or placed in the prayer box, or submitted online. Logie Kirk will be open to visitors on Sunday afternoons throughout July and August from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Tea, coffee and home baking will be available. The service next Sunday will begin at 10 a.m. That's 10 a.m. and will be followed by the annual open air service at Kirkemuir at 12 noon. And finally, articles for the autumn edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by Sunday, 16th August. Please email contributions to the Parishioner at stinnionsold.org.uk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie, for your welcome. I have to say that when our children heard that I was going to be conducting the service this morning, they said to me, "When are you going to stop? When are you going to retire?" And I said to them, "Well, the Rolling Stones have just made a new album. And if they can make a new album and sell it for £40 a time, I can surely stagger forward and conduct the service here this morning." You will find copies of my latest album in the vestibule. And if you buy one, you'll get the second half price. When you look at the praise for this morning's service, you will see that three are psalms. Unfortunately, my wife and I will not be here. We will be on holiday when the congregation celebrates its 275th anniversary of worship here within this place. And it occurred to me that I wonder what they sang the day this place was opened and dedicated. And so I've chosen three psalms which belong probably to the 17th century, as do their melodies. You will know the psalms immediately you hear the music. I've also chosen a hymn which belongs to the Lutheran tradition with the melody adapted by Bach. And finally, I've chosen a hymn which, while it doesn't belong to the 21st century, the words and the music belong to the 20th century. But first of all, let us worship God. Let us sing to his glory and praise, hymn 61. Hymn 61, which is in fact Psalm 98, to a melody by Jeremiah Clarke, written in the 17th century. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Thank you. St. Paul said, "My one desire is to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. I am able to face anything through Christ who gives me strength." Let us pray. Gracious God, we have come to worship you today because we want to be here. We need to be here to affirm and strengthen our faith and worship. It is good for us to be here with others who aspire to know and understand our faith better. It is good that we are able to focus upon the things that matter most to us without interruption or distraction. Draw close to us, O God, as we draw close to you. Hear our prayers. Give to us your strength, that we will be able to face all things through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful God, what we would aspire to know and learn of you is often not the reality of our lives from day to day. Our faith isn't always at the forefront of our lives. Sometimes our speech, our opinions and our behaviour do not always bear testimony to the faith that we profess here this morning. Such things we know only too well. And we feel a sense of shame, because who else is there to witness to your love for the world in Jesus Christ but us? Too often we are poor ambassadors of Christ, because the world is so challenging of who we are and what we believe. Forgive us, O God. Help us not to be afraid. Make us strong together. Make us strong as individuals, that we may not lose sight of you in the hurly-burly of life. So may our faith make an impact upon our society, that there may be a shift in the attitudes of others to act from concern for their neighbour, wherever they may be, as Christ reaches out to us all. So give to each of us, O God, a faith that knows no fears, a faith that looks to you for help, a faith that finds its fulfillment in you, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the things that you notice if you are a visitor to the church are the windows behind me, the memorials, the plaques upon the wall, and if you happen to be standing here, the names of the men upon the war memorial. But if you look at where you are sitting, if you look at the board where your hymn book is, you will see other things. You will see scratches, marks made by, dare I suggest, little boys when they've been here and when it was not uncommon to have a pen knife. And at some stage or different stages of the service, they have chosen to make marks upon the pew board. Near where Ed Morton is sitting, one boy had enough time to write his name, Robert Brown. So if Robert Brown is present here, or if you happen to know Robert Brown, but be very conscious of this as we look towards celebrating 275 years in this place. Think of those who have been here before. The marks upon the pews remind us that children, yes, and grown-ups have been here before us. And if they hadn't been here, we would not be here today. So as we look back, as we will, to what we have been as a congregation from the years following the Jacobite uprising, so it is good for us to look forward to what is yet to be, we do not know. But surely we must hope and pray that in the days to come, there will be men, women, and children who will look back upon us, what we have done, and what we have handed on to them. And now we'll sing another psalm, which you will find at hymn 81. Hymn 81, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Are read, and our psalm reading is led by Margaret Sibbald. Our responsive psalm, which is found at hymn 101, is a psalm which tells of the kingship of God. And our reading from the Book of Kings tells us of when Solomon became king. He was young, and he sought of God the qualities that were appropriate for kingship. And in our gospel lesson, we will hear five parables told by Jesus. And each parable is prefaced with the words, "The kingdom of heaven." In Psalm 145, we learn of God as king, and what will happen is, as we read it responsively, Margaret will begin by reading line 1, and we shall read line 2, Margaret will read line 3, we will read line 4, and so we'll read the lines alternatively. Thank you, Margaret.
You are kind and full of compassion, slow to anger abounding in love. How good you are, Lord, to all, compassionate to all your creatures. All your creatures shall thank you, O Lord, and your friends shall repeat their blessing. They shall speak the glory of your reign and declare your might, O God. To make known all your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your reign. Yours is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule lasts from age to age. You are faithful in all your words and loving in all your deeds. You support all who are falling and raise up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all creatures look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and grant the desires of all who live. You are just in all your ways and loving in all your deeds. You are close to all who call you, who call on you from their hearts. You grant the desires of those who fear you. You hear and you save them. Lord, you protect all who love you, but the wicked you will utterly destroy. Let me speak your praise, O Lord. People bless your holy name forever, for ages unending. Amen. The first Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 12, and can be found on page 281 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, "What shall I give you? Tell me," he answered. "You have shown great and constant love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in loyalty, righteousness, and integrity of heart. And you have maintained this great and constant love towards him. And now you have given him a son to succeed him on the throne. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, though I am a mere child, unskilled in leadership. Here I am in the midst of your people, the people of your choice, too many to be numbered or counted. Grant your servant, therefore, a heart with skill to listen, and so that he may govern your people justly and distinguish good from evil. Otherwise, who is equal to the task of governing this great people of yours?" The Lord was well pleased that this was what Solomon had asked for. And God said, "Because you have asked for this, and not for long life, or for wealth, or for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for discernment in administering justice, I grant you your request. I give you a heart so wise and so understanding that there has been none like you before your time, and nor will there be after you." The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 33, and then 44 to 52, and can be found on page 12 of the Pew Bible. This is another parable he gave them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Mustard is smaller than any other seed, but when it has grown, it is taller than other plants. It becomes a tree, big enough for the birds to come and roost among its branches." He told them also this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure, which a man found buried in a field. He buried it again, and in joy went out and sold everything he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A merchant, looking out for fine pearls, found one of very special value. So he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea, where it caught fish of every kind. When it was full, it was hauled ashore. Then the men sat down and collected the good fish into baskets and threw the worthless away. That is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will go out and they will separate the wicked from the good and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Have you understood all of this? He asked. They answered, yes. So he said to them, when therefore a teacher of the law has become a learner in the kingdom of heaven, he is like a householder who can produce from his store things new and old. Amen.
Thank you very much. And now let us sing hymn 601. Hymn 601, Look Upon Us, Blessed Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who in finding one of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is mentioned on 10 different occasions by Jesus in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Indeed, the phrase is to be found on 27 other occasions in the first Gospel. Consequently, it has to have some importance and significance in our understanding and acceptance of our faith. Yet at the same time, we have to admit that it's a pretty difficult concept to understand and to expound. Little wonder that we choose to sidestep any exploration of it. That kind of approach reminds me of when I used to sit exams. I would turn the exam paper over and look at the instructions at the top of the page. Answer 7 of the 10 questions. And so I would scour the paper for those I wouldn't or couldn't tackle and find the 7 I could. In other words, the 7 least difficult. However, if the instructions said, and they sometimes did, all questions should be attempted, my heart would sink, because weaknesses in my knowledge would be found out, and I would have a struggle. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Interpretation should be attempted. Let us note that Jesus didn't say, once upon a time there was a merchant in search of fine pearls. Rather, Jesus deliberately chose to preface this and other parables with the same introduction. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, like treasure, like a pearl, like a fishing net. To his listeners, that introduction would have been immediately understood, because theirs was a faith that was underpinned by the knowledge that God, the creator of heaven and earth, was also their creator God. All things they believed were within his power, and that power was exercised as a king over his people. You and I know about kingship because we are citizens of the United Kingdom. We too have a king, and in his name, on his behalf, and with his authority, we have governments that legislate for the good and prosperity of the nations. We have independent judicial systems that safeguard in the name of the king the laws which ensure the well-being of all his subjects. So for Jesus' listeners, there was no need to spell out the relationship between God and his people. They understood it, and it is readily expounded in the Psalms and Prophets, where the kingship of God is proclaimed and praised. And so the people belonged to his kingdom. With little reservation, we too can understand kingship and kingdom. However, you will probably point out to me that the expression that Jesus has used in these parables is the kingdom of heaven. And it is the word heaven that makes the phrase difficult to understand. Be assured that the other expression that Jesus used, the kingdom of God, can be and is used in the Gospels as an alternative, and therefore is ostensibly less challenging and can make more sense to us. Indeed, it is important that we understand that when scholars claim that the kingdom of God is the dominant theme of the Gospels. For running alongside the notion for Jesus' listeners was the belief in the messianic age, the age to come. And so when Jesus' first recorded words in St. Mark's Gospel are, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has arrived. Repent and believe in the gospel." Who can doubt that Jesus is setting out his credentials from the word go? For these are jaw-dropping words. This audacious assertion is a constant feature of Jesus' ministry, even to his death. Wherever he goes, whenever he speaks, he is immediately identified as the person who proclaims that the messianic age has been fulfilled in him. Consequently, to believe in him is to believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Christ, and to acknowledge that God's kingdom has come. For the kingdom is a real, present, living reality, and all believers belong to it. Nevertheless, the ministry of the young man from Galilee demands of his listeners a preparedness to hear him out and a response to his call to discipleship. Inevitably, there are questions. Is he able to change the minds of the skeptical? Is he able to win over the hostile? Can he succeed in reassuring the timid and anxious not to be afraid of a new direction in their lives? For change is seldom comfortable. Jesus illustrates the very present nature of the kingdom of which God is king by resorting to the use of a variety of metaphors. And so from a group of parables that have been gathered in the first gospel, we read, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who in finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The original language of the parable is disguised by a shift in emphasis that has been made in translation. And so the kingdom is not like the merchant, but it is like the pearl that is found. Thus we should read, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. A merchant in search of fine pearls, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it." The brevity of the parable may be frustrating for us because we would want to know more about the merchant. But Jesus offered no explanation. Instead, you and I are invited by him to draw our own conclusions. However, as I have said, the focus is not the merchant, but the pearl. And when the merchant, after his searching, found what he was looking for, he realized the worth of his searching and his discovery. Consequently, he sold everything to acquire the pearl. It was everything he'd been looking for. And so it is with the kingdom of God, is what the parable is saying. For the merchant, it was the realization that the pearl was all important. When he found it, he knew that it was what he most desired. He looked no further. I am reminded of the labyrinth to be found in the great medieval cathedral of Chartres in France. A labyrinth is set out on the floor of the vast nave of the cathedral. It symbolizes every person's journey. Its twists and turns symbolize our searching until we reach the center. Whoever walks it reaches the center because there are no dead ends, no false conclusions. So it is for those who are searching. Searching for purpose, meaning, searching for answers to their lives, solace for their sadness. There is an outcome that will materialize. The searching will not be in vain. And the Son who comes in the Father's name is waiting for us to receive us. And we will be glad when we have found him, the one who brings and is the personification of God's kingship. For in him is a love that is greater than our love for one another, greater now and always. And we are brought into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not a static, fixed concept. It is always changing as the world around us changes. And we do well to remember that our belonging to God and our acceptance of his Son are not only for this present time, but for the time to come. That through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as through his earthly ministry, our discipleship will be made one with those who have gone before us. You and I have to understand that we not only belong to the kingdom of God, but we are also expressions of what it means to belong to it. Yes, inevitably, we struggle with religious concepts that challenge our understanding of faith. Yes, we grapple with ideas that are grounded in the faith of the early church and those who belong to it. And that was a long time ago. And that was a different time. Yes, we must try to find new ways to express our faith that are fit for this century. And yes, perhaps we even manage to have faith in God through Jesus Christ without all these different and often difficult theological concepts. Fine. But let's not forget that those who are searching are maybe going to find their way here where we are and where we gather. Let us hope and pray that they will find what they are seeking and be glad at their discovery here midst God's kingdom. Amen. And now let us sing hymn 70. Hymn 70. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. Let us pray and let us thank God. Thanks be to God for this day. Already we've been blessed in different ways. The health of body and mind that have enabled us to want to come here this morning. The desire to be part of the fellowship that is the church. The opportunity to meet friends. We acknowledge with gratitude, O God, the importance of affirming our faith in company with one another. And we commend each other to you in Jesus' name. Give to us your peace, O God, that we may be at one with you and all your people, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Hear us, O God, as we bring to you our prayers for others. Let us pray for Charles, our King, and all those who in his name and on his behalf govern us. We pray therefore, O God, for the new Prime Minister and his government in Westminster, for our own First Minister and his government in Edinburgh, and those who lead assemblies in Wales and Ireland. Give them wisdom, O God, to govern the nations. We pray for our King and all those who in his name and on his behalf administer the laws that parliaments and assembly determine. We pray for all members of the legal system, judges and lawyers, as they strive to ensure that justice is done to the satisfaction of our lawmakers and society. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let us pray for the peace of the nations. Lord God, we confess that we are fearful of the folly of those nations whose leaders use their power to resort to war to resolve issues that divide nations. Raise up makers of peace, that the world may be spared conflict, suffering and pain. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for those who have been caught up in the ravages of fire here in Scotland and in other parts of Europe. Too readily, O God, do we treat the world you have entrusted to us in ways that are sometimes casual and even greedy. We recognize the foolishness of our indifference to its safeguarding and nurture. Be with those who are confronting these fires to extinguish them, as well as those who have been caught up in them. May rescuers and rescued be kept safe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for ourselves as a congregation of God's people. We commend not only our ministers to you, O God, but we also commend ourselves as we look forward with uncertainty. Help us not to be anxious about the future. Rather, may we, as your people of old did, may we trust you to guide and sustain us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for our families and friends. We thank you, O God, that we belong to families, however large or small. Whether they are near or far away, we remember them now. We commend to you our friends, many of whom mean much to us. And among our family, friends, and neighbours, we are aware of those whose wants are great at this time. Illness, loss, unemployment, disappointment. Bind us together, O God, with a love that cannot be broken. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thanks be to God for the saints of the Church. It means much to us, O God, to remember those men, women, and children whose lives, love, and faith have been so integral to our own lives and faith. Help us to find comfort and assurance through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that in the kingdom of heaven they are one with you until we come. We offer all these prayers, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing hymn 283, The Voice of God Goes Out to All the World.
face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore.